you have a drive that is different from just, you know, say the pursuit of profit or something else. It's a little bit more akin to art, where you're just sort of driven because it means something to you. And we have a much larger slice of people who look at our industry that way than most industries do.
Welcome to Common Roots, an infra podcast.
And I'm your host, Haley Craig.
Independent natural food retailers are as diverse and unique as the communities they serve. From urban to rural, East Coast to West Coast, small to large, there's one thing that these stores have in common: a deep commitment to providing healthy foods to their communities. In celebration of Infra's 20th anniversary, we're handing over the mic to 20 Infra members to share their challenges and triumphs in navigating the world of natural food retail. Are our common roots really so common? Let's find out. Today, we are joined by Billy Griffin from New Moon Natural Foods, and this is their story. All right, perfect. Well, welcome, Billy, to Common Roots. Thank you for being here with us today. Do you just want to start off by introducing yourself and telling us a little bit about your store?
Sure. My name is Billy Griffin, and I'm the owner of New Moon Natural Foods. We have two stores in Tahoe City, California, and Truckee, California. So we're in the Lake Tahoe North Shore area. And we're, the stores are about 13 miles apart, so close enough, but not too far. And we serve a great community up here. People are very health conscious, and it's kind of in the bones up here in the mountains is how people are. So we've been here 30 years, and or 30 years next year. And then that's, you know, we've become a real part of that community and connected with that ethic that's here.
Yeah, for sure. And yeah, I would love to know a little bit more. So you started, you said this is going to be your 30 years next year.
Well, if you look on the website, the original roots of this store, now New Moon purchased this store somewhere on that historical continuum. But in 1976, it began as a buying club, a cooperative in somebody's garage. You know, there really weren't natural food stores back there unless you were, you know, really in San Francisco or in some place that, maybe upstate New York and other places that were the pioneers in that at those times. But it began as a buying club that people just had a mission. They wanted to make different choices for themselves. And there were dreams around that were rooted in the counterculture. And so that's how it started. And then it grew, and one of the members built a store, and then he sold it to me eventually in 1997. And then, you know, New Moon has taken the mantle and run with it since then.
Yeah, cool. And what do you think, do you think you still kind of hold on to any of those practices and ethos from those early days, from when it did initially start in the garage in the 70s? Do you hold on to any of those kind of early practices or values that shaped it originally? Or did you kind of rework the entire idea behind it and make it your own?
A bit of both. But at its core, we make a point to acknowledge that piece of the history on our website, right? I mean, it mentions 1976 there. And some people actually, you know, when they read it quickly, they think, oh, wow, this store has been around since 76. But the store itself hasn't. It became a store in 82 when one of the people in the buying club decided that they wanted to take it to the next level. And the ideals that those early people had was, you know, very pioneering and revolutionary spirit. It was, you know, rooted in the counterculture movement. I mean, back then in 1976, I was 10, right? I was a bologna and white bread kid in Boston, Massachusetts, and knew nothing of any of this. And So really, I see that as part of a historical continuum. I mean, there were a lot of ideals that were born out of that late 60s time that are still alive today in so many ways. That revolutionary spirit and that idea that we can create something new. We don't have to follow the path we're on. And that put its, you know, its impression in so many different ways, from the anti-war movement to the food movement to social justice and the fight for civil rights and, I mean, in the environment and so many different, it took so many different permutations. But what I like, I think is important for us as a business is to recognize that we're on a historical continuum and that there were people who came before us and there are people who will come after us. And there was an initial belief and vision, a dream, you know, that people had of what the future could hold. And now we are that future. And so, you know, we're moving it forward. I mean, probably the most famous one of that period is Martin Luther King and his I Have a Dream speech, in which he posited this notion, this ideal that, you know, Black children and white children or children of all races would be treated equally and we'd be playing with each other normally and harmoniously. Today, I'm a member of a mixed race family. Like, my whole family is the manifestation of that dream that they were just thinking up and hoping would be part of the future. And so that's, of course, you know, I don't want to aggrandize New Moon to that level, but it does hold the same kind of idea that there's an arc of history and that people have these ideals, they push them forward. And if they're important, then there's a continuum. And wherever you come in on that continuum, if you believe in it, it's your job to renew it in your time and push it forward for the next generation, if you will.
Yeah, and I love the way you put that, because in many ways, the natural foods industry itself is like kind of a response to the culture. And it is a counterculture in many ways. That's its roots. And I feel like that also resonates in your store name, which is New Moon, which kind of, you know, represents new beginnings, change, you know, changing yourself, sprouting a fresh leaf. So what does that name kind of represent for you in your store? And how does that metaphor kind of play out in your day-to-day business strategy?
Yeah. Well, this idea of being on a historical continuum, right? That's the broader arc. And the philosophy that we have at New Moon is, you know, lined up with the original philosophy that is that we're trying to build a better food system. We're trying to nourish people as we go and nourish ourselves, but we're trying to build a better food system. That was originally a dream. Like, we need another one. We need a new one. And then now we have one. It's here, and it's our job to maintain it and not let that dream slip away and manage it is really our biggest challenges. So acknowledging that we're on a historical continuum, but the name New Moon implies this idea of cycle, right? That every 29 days or so, we have an opportunity to renew the cycle. And that's frequent. So, you know, 13 or so times a year, you get an opportunity to reexamine where you are in your cycle. And the new moon, traditionally, is a time for new plantings, new beginnings, thinking of new ideas, and it's an opportunity for change. So it's a reminder that while we're on this broader arc of what we're trying to accomplish, that along the way, you need to refresh, and that you need to have regular reexamination, and to embrace that as part of a normal operational ethic. It's easy to get stagnant in a business like this, and it's easy to get tired. It's easy to, you know, have all these things wear down on you. It's normal everywhere, but especially if you own your own business or if you're in an independent situation with all the pressures. And so, you know, for us, that mission is being a mission-driven and ethical and sustainable food sources with an eye towards stewardship and community. It's that helps, you know, because it's easy to find your North Star if you get away from it. But if you don't have that North Star and your goal is really to just kind of like make money or like create better insurance products or whatever, it's easy to just sort of lose it and not really have a point to it. So New Moon, the idea behind that is, you know, you're constantly refreshing, and that's a part of a normal cycle, which is itself part of a broader, bigger cycle.
Yeah. Well, and I feel like that's such a healthy mindset to have in the natural foods industry, because I feel like what I see a lot is people struggling with the balance of maintaining those original ideals of being in the natural foods industry, starting in, you know, the 70s, 80s, but then also adjusting to all this change that is happening now. And, you know, organic and natural foods have become a little bit more conventional. And so I feel like there's this kind of balancing act that you have to take when it comes to staying strong to your ideals, but also welcoming change and new things and new products and, you know, new brands. Do you feel that kind of push and pull? Is that a struggle for you, or is it just you're able to maintain this kind of New Moon mindset?
Well, like I said before, it's easy when you're a mission-driven business, because the North Star is always there, right? You've written it on the wall, you've put it on your website, it's probably ingrained in your bones. But we, you know, as humans, we grow over time and we turn into people that we weren't before, and we turn into versions of ourselves that sometimes, you know, we look and say, wait a minute, how did I get here? And so trying to prevent that, trying to, you know, always renew in this idea that we are searching for the best version of ourselves and the best version of how we manifest our mission. That's I think the core of staying true there.
Lovely. Great. And I would love to hear, you talked a little bit about, the communities that you are in Tahoe, in Truckee, but I would just love to know a little bit more about kind of the local food culture there. Could you talk a little bit about kind of your customer demographic? Who are the people that are shopping at your store, and maybe how that's kind of evolved over time?
Sure. I mean, early on it was, you know, natural foods was a niche, and really, you know, you got the true believers and you got people who had some sort of health crisis that drove them to you. But otherwise, you know, people would walk by and be like, you know, quinoa, what's that weird stuff, you know? And I don't want anything to do with that, you know? And of course that changed, as we all know, over time. And the wind was at our back there, with the industry, that it just changed broadly, and mainstream attitude changed everywhere. We were very fortunate here in the Tahoe Truckee area, because we have a very fitness and health minded, outdoorsy ethic, a very strong stewardship ethic, and so a lot of these values are sort of built into the people who seek to live here. And that's really what established our roots, was aligning with that. And then over time, you know, things change. Tahoe Truckee has become a much more affluent area. A lot of families have moved out. We've had gentrification. But one saving grace for us is the weather, right? We get a ton of snow up here, and a lot of people just don't want to deal with that, right? So you don't get the full-on gentrification. It's like Mother Nature will ensure that if you really want to live here, that, you know, you're going to have to pay a price to get it, and you have to be willing to pay that price. And so that kind of keeps that erosion ethic away, and it keeps people who have that spirit, that mountainous spirit in them, even if, you know, they're driving their Tesla and whatever, but it's like they still have it in their bones somewhere, you know, and they're embracing it on one level or another. So we've been very fortunate to have that, and our town has grown, you know, from 2,000 to 17 or 18,000 people now, and the region has grown. So we've had our challenges for sure, but in a lot of ways, the wind has been at our back as a business. In a lot of that, you know, an increasingly affluent community is going to be good for natural foods, because you know, the price barriers to entry are difficult for some people. And, you know, try as you might to keep prices low, it's just, you know, you're never going to compete with, you know, the ShopRite kind of pricing. And so you can't serve certain portions of your community try that you might. So we've been very fortunate in that regard that, you know, our community's moved economically in that direction. And then broadly that health food has become a mainstream thing and it's not, you know, quinoa anymore.
Yeah, people know how to say it now, which is great. Amazing. Great. And yeah, I would also just love to talk about the produce and the products that you bring into your store, because I know you have, you know, all organic produce and it seems like you care a lot about bringing in local foods. So could you just talk a little bit more about the intention and the standards that you have for the products and the produce that you bring in?
Yeah, I mean, it's mission driven. So there's a number of different tenets, whether that be social justice or nutrition or environmental, fair trade, all the different kind of aspects that go into creating, you know, your quintessential good natural product. And so we try to balance a lot of those. We don't carry 100% organic in our store. We don't carry no sugar, but, you know, if something's just nothing but sugar and garbage, we say that's out. So it's finding a balance between all of those things and then aligning that with the mission of the store, which is to create, through our ethical food choices, a broader and more sustainable food system and, you know, a more just world. So that naturally draws us to small farms, to things that touch businesses, supporting other businesses that touch people directly and not just through the corporatized system in which humans are just kind of a cog in that, and that everything, you know, serves the, you know, the end goal of the, of those who hold the capital. So it's kind of easy to, you know, to do that once you get in the habit of finding those kinds of products and bringing them to your community and then celebrating them so that the people who are here start to say, hey, that's great. You know, you're a gatekeeper, and not just gatekeeper for them, where they don't have to worry about reading the label necessarily, but also a gatekeeper in that they trust you to be bringing things that are aligned with their values.
For sure. Okay, great. And just to kind of shift a little bit, but of course I have to ask because you are a member of Infra. So I would just love to hear when New Moon became a member and kind of what initially motivated you to want to join.
Probably 2012-ish, I would say, somewhere in that neighborhood. I mean, the original push I remember was, I think we were maybe at Expo and my wife visited the Infra booth and she came back with a folder full of information. And we had been struggling at that point because we were growing, but we were very mom and pop and we did things really, you know, in ways that are, you know, sort of embarrassing. You know, like you look back at your high school photo and your hair and you go, oh God, how could we have thought that was okay? And there was a point in our business where we were operating like that. And the what we really needed was KPIs. We needed to understand, we didn't even know what they were. I mean, what do you even measure at that point? But we understood that we were a growing business, that if we were going to succeed, that this was going to be vital to our ability to manage our data. Because it takes an investment to manage your data and to create systems around which, you know, data can be meaningful to you. And at some point you have to bite the bullet and make that investment, but an investment towards what goal? Well, Infra really helped us understand what those goals are and how to measure ourselves. And then, wow, wonderfully so, gave us benchmarks against our peers. And you could actually go talk to the peers and say, how did you do that? You know, what are your secrets? And made the connection. So initially it was through needing to make, you know, operational and financial improvements to our business. But then of course, you know, we got all the benefits of Infra, the buying power and the deals and all of that, but also the community. And it's easy to feel isolated way up here in the mountains, but when you got a community of people who, you know your business and do that, you feel a part of a fabric and not so isolated.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah, and I think it's so satisfying too when, you know, we can help stores that have such a strong ethos and, you know, the ethics that you have, and you have such a strong vision for your store, which in some ways, like, that can be the tough part for so many people. So when you have that piece, it's like helping with the financials and kind of the logistics. It's just satisfying to see it all come together, because in some ways it's like the vision is the most important part. So if you have that, it's like, we can get you there in the other channels. I also wanted to ask too, in the Tahoe community, do you experience a lot of, is there a lot of corporate competition, big box stores, things like that? Or is it, you know, more of a local business haven? Is there a lot of solidarity? What does that landscape kind of look like?
In the north, Lake Tahoe has two major sort of commercial centers. There's the North Lake, which includes Truckee, which is a town up the Truckee River, about 13 miles north along Highway 80. And that's kind of that North Shore community. And then there's the South Shore community. And the two communities went very different directions. South Shore has a lot of big box stores and Targets and that sort of thing. And then the North Shore region and Truckee made a very conscious effort to stay small. And so through, you know, zoning regulations and things like that, where you can't have stores that are over a certain size, you know, a certain footprint, certain heights and that sort of thing, they've been able to kind of keep a mountain feel. And that doesn't mean that Taco Bell hasn't come to town, but it does mean that, you know, Walmart hasn't. And so as such, we're very fortunate in that area. But the flip side of that is that in the grocery space, there are competitors who do fit into that footprint and who do fit into a regular grocery store footprint. And we have a big competitor in Raley's One, which is their, you know, natural entity. Raley's, for those of you who don't know, is a regional grocer in Northern California, Northern Nevada. And I don't know how many stores they've got. It was like 70 or something like that. So it's substantial. And they decided to open their flagship store right here in Truckee. Their very first all-organic, you know, Whole Foods knockoff kind of thing. And so that was a big challenge for us when that happened. Fortunately for us, it happened in the middle of COVID, when we were just experiencing a rush of business. I mean, for all the pain that other people were having, you know, New Moon was, and other, I think, natural food stores or food stores in general were experiencing real windfalls. And so that blunted the effect of that. But, you know, we've been very fortunate in our community, in our food landscape, and to be limited geographically with competition. But also we've made a good job of trying to make ourselves into an institution here in this town. And then, you know, people come to us just because they love you, and, you know, not just because you're, you know, convenient or you're, you know, 10 cents less on, you know, lettuce or something.
Yeah. The best kind of customers. They come because they love you.
Yeah. Yeah. We love that.
Yeah. Lovely. Okay, great. And yeah, I would also love to hear a little bit about your, the cafe and the juice bar that you have in your store. Cause, you know, you started off as a small market and then evolved into now multi-locations, and you have the cafe and the juice bar. So what was that transition like? And, you know, the food service space can be interesting and difficult in so many different ways. So if you have any like learning moments along the way of just the journey of getting that set up.
Well, in food service specifically, you know, I've always been very conservative on sticking my neck out. I have a degree in economics, and I've seen enough economic pullbacks to know that you don't always see them coming, and there's been several during our tenure. So I've been always very conservative. The flip side of that is that you don't take care of opportunities when they're here. And so as a result of that, our store is small by footprint, and we do a lot in a small space. And when it comes to food service, that's harder to do because it really does constrain you. That there's only so much space, there's only so much counter space to cut this. And if you want to increase production, you physically don't have the space to do things. And so that's been a challenge for sure. And so what we focused on really is retaining quality and really, really high quality ingredients and having that separate us from the competition where, I mean, we sell a lot of sandwiches, right? I mean, it's very simple, very, not a lot of barriers to entry in the sandwich market, right? But because of the ingredients, because of the recipes and that sort of thing, you know, we're a very unique sandwich shop. It's not like sandwiches are all that we do, but when it comes to that, that's kind of been the way that we built the niche to kind of get around these self-inflicted problems of limited space.
For sure. I mean, if you have a delicious sandwich, people are going to keep coming back.
Yeah.
It's just the formula.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Amazing. Well, I have kind of a tough question for you, or it might be very simple, but I would love to know what is something that you love or that excites you about the natural foods industry today?
I would say going back to this idea of a dream made manifest, you know, we're on a continuum, right? The industry itself is on a continuum. I remember reading, you know, a headline in Natural Foods Merchandiser, you know, way back going like, we're now a $2 billion industry. And we were like, with a B, you know, and now, good gracious, you know, is it a T yet? I don't even know. So it started small. It started with dreams. It started with people who were really people and they were trying to build something. And knowing that that's an arc and seeing where we are, it's important for me to remember that, you know, the elders will age out. And we who are here now need to be lending our shoulder to the wheel of creating something. And I think that one of the best things about the industry is that there's still a lot of people in it for whom it isn't just a job. There's meaning in what they do. And when you have meaning in your work, you have a drive that is different from just, you know, say the pursuit of profit or something else. It's a little bit more akin to art where you're just sort of driven because it means something to you. And we have a much larger slice of people who look at our industry that way than most industries do.
Yeah, it is true. And I mean, that's what we see obviously every day here at Infra, very passionate people. And it is, I agree, it's a special industry because it's not an immediate moneymaker right off the bat.
You know, I would not recommend it for those seeking riches.
Not an easy way to get some quick cash. So you kind of have to be in it for the right reasons. And of course, as we've already said, you know, things have become more conventional and more, you know, typical, but that still doesn't change the people that are in it are usually in it for the right reasons. So yeah, I think that's lovely. And I have another hard question for you, but I would love to know what is one of the most valuable lessons that you have learned in your time running your business?
I would say do what you believe in, not just what pays. And it's important to surround yourself with people who believe similarly. You create a camaraderie, a family, you know, there's a community and a connection there. And that makes work a joy. So my most valuable lesson in being in doing what I've done, I did not expect to be doing this for 30 years. I didn't expect to be doing anything for 30 years, is that it makes work a joy. And, you know, knowing that you're touching people's lives and knowing that you're making a difference in your customers, in your staff, in the world writ large, that you sleep well at night.
Wow. What a lovely note to end on. Amazing. That is all the questions I have for you. Is there anything else that you would like to shout out or include that I did not ask you?
Well, I would like to give a shout out to our staff. I think that would be appropriate. You know, it's hard to live up to your vision if you don't have people who are bought in. And our staff is the center of what we do. It's from their efforts and positivity that we deliver the best version of our store to the world. And everything that's special about New Moon starts and ends with our staff. So cheers to you guys. Thank you. You guys effing rock. We couldn't do it without you. Mwah.
Thank you for tuning in to Common Roads. This episode has been made possible thanks to the hard work of Infra staff and Infra member contributors. To learn more about the retailers we serve, visit our retailer directory at naturalfoodretailers.com/retailer-directory.